This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Alexandra Salmon and Eric Thomas, residents of Seattle's Ballard neighborhood. Alexandra and Eric are here today to tell us about their new net zero energy home, which creates all the energy it needs on an annual basis and is likely to be the first net zero energy home in the city of Seattle. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
What led you to build a net zero energy home? What was your goal?
To be honest, it was actually quite an accidental process. When Eric and I had set out to look for a house to buy in Seattle, we were first looking at existing homes. And because we don't have a car, our main criteria was really looking for a house in a walkable neighborhood. So that was the most important thing to us. And so finding an energy efficient home or a super energy efficient home wasn't really at the forefront of our minds. And so once we were searching for several months within our price range, we just really weren't finding anything that we loved in our neighborhood. So just by happenstance, one day we were actually walking by the lot that we're in now, and it was a vacant lot. And we couldn't believe that it was a vacant lot in Ballard because there was this little for sale sign that looked almost handmade. And there was a huge pile of dirt on the lot itself. And we just thought, oh, it's got to be the pile of dirt for sale, not the actual lot. So once we contacted the seller and realized that it was, in fact, the lot for sale, that's really when our ideas just started rolling. I mean, we started researching on the internet, and we were looking at prefabricated homes. We were looking at building the house ourselves from a home kit. We just thought, oh, we'll just build the house on the weekends. And we quickly realized that that wasn't really realistic. And then at that point, we had encountered zero energy plans. And that's Ted Clifton's company. And that's when we were just so excited about the idea that this sort of technology was readily available and maybe it's possible for people like us to do. But even at that time, when we realize, okay, we're going to work with Ted Clifton, who's the designer from Zero Energy Plans, we decided we weren't sure at the time if we could actually obtain zero energy status. We were really concerned about our budget. And so we were thinking, okay, well, we can make the house highly insulated, but we're not sure that we're going to be able to, for example, use a solar panel system right away. But once we realized that there are all these great incentives, both federal and state incentives, that became possible. So it's like, okay, now we can do the solar panel system, getting closer to that goal. And then another example is with the heat pump, which is the energy efficient heat pump. We weren't sure we could afford that at the time. So we were going to go with a standard boiler. But once again, after reassessing, talking with Ted, and looking at our budget, we thought, well, you know, this is something that we don't want to have to replace later. So we went ahead and put our money toward the energy efficient aspects of the house. So really, it wasn't something we set out to do, but it was something that evolved over time.
Would you explain what you mean by net zero energy? Expand on that.
Sure. Basically, it just means that the house produces as much energy over the course of a year from the solar panels as we use. There's no gas that goes into the house. There's no other heat source. It's just electricity. We use that for our heating, our cooking, all our appliances and everything. And it all comes from the solar panels indirectly. So the electricity is produced and it goes into the city's power grid. And when we're producing extra electricity, we're sending it back to the city and that they distribute it to other houses to use. And then when it's nighttime or, you know, a cloudy day, we might be drawing power back from the city's grid. And over the course of the year, we keep track of it all. We have a special meter that goes forwards and backwards. And we installed that on September 30th, and we're now at about 1,700 kilowatt hours. And so we expect by next September 30th, that number will have reversed back to zero.
Would you give a general description of your home in terms of size and the number of rooms and so forth?
Sure. It's a single-family home. It's on a fairly small lot, 50 by 75 feet, I believe. It's 1,915 square feet. We have three bedrooms. The master bedroom is on the first floor. We designed the house to be handicap-friendly so that whoever lives in it someday, if there's ever a need for a wheelchair or something like that, they could still live in the main floor and be fine. There are a bunch of south-facing windows. That was an important part of the design, that we got lots of this solar energy coming through the windows and heating up the house during the daytime to help heat the house. We have two bathrooms. Anything to add to that?
We have a loft area as well, so that's where Eric can work during the day because he's a freelancer.
Yeah, the home office.
So now could you talk about the features of your home that allow it to be net zero energy? You've been alluding to those, but perhaps you could go through and list them and indicate which are probably the most important as far as being net zero energy.
So first and foremost, to make it net zero energy, the house has a lot of energy saving features because we have a large solar panel system. It's 6 kilowatts on our roof, but you can't really just put a solar panel system on a house that is leaky and doesn't have much insulation and attain net zero energy. So with our house, the shell of it is made out of what are called SIPS panels. So those are structural insulated panels. And those are essentially about 6 inches of foam, and then there are pieces of wood that sandwich the foam, and they come pre-cut. Watching them get put together was actually pretty interesting because it's like Lego pieces, really heavy Lego pieces. And so that's one of the things that makes our house really insulated. We also have triple pane windows, so the heat loss is greatly decreased by having those triple pane windows. As Eric was saying earlier, we have the passive solar. We have a lot of south-facing windows, and that was really important to me because I'm from New Mexico, so I need to get as much light as possible here.
Another thing that we have is we picked out the most energy-efficient appliances that we could find. It's far cheaper to save energy than it is to produce it. As anyone who's ever priced out the cost of a solar panel installation will tell you, that can be quite expensive, so we really tried to just save electricity wherever we could, which turned out to be kind of a process. As we shopped around for our refrigerator and our washing machine and things like that, we found that the stores would actually hide the energy usage information, the little yellow card, somewhere inside the refrigerator. And we would go and say, you know, give us your most efficient refrigerator. And often the salesperson, you know, wouldn't know maybe. And we would be forced to like go through all the drawers to compare the different models.
And what we learned too was that something that's Energy Star certified, that can really be quite a large spectrum. And so when we would go to shop around for a refrigerator, for example, the salesperson would say, oh, well, all of these are Energy Star certified, and then really focus on the features. Like, this one has French doors, and this one has, you know, doors on the side. And so Energy Star certified, we realize, I mean, while it's a great thing, there's a large spectrum. So it took quite a bit of research to figure out, okay, what is the most energy efficient appliance?
Yeah, we would encourage anyone looking to replace their appliances to really do a little bit of research, because it does pay off over time. You have these for a long time, and you know, every day you'll be saving energy without even thinking about it. So it's a great way to save some energy.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Alexandra Salmon and Eric Thomas, residents of Seattle's Ballard neighborhood and the owners of a net zero energy home. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Would you go into detail about how your heating system works?
Sure. As Alex mentioned before, it's based off of an air-to-water heat pump. Quite simply, it's a box that sits outside the house. It looks like sort of a central air conditioning unit. It's all electric, and so what it does is cold water goes in and it heats it up at about 300% the efficiency as a regular electric boiler, which we're still trying to figure out to wrap our minds around. It's kind of amazing, but it somehow draws heat out of the air outside, even on a cold day, and uses that to help heat the house. And that hot water goes through tubing in our floor. We have a finished concrete floor on the main floor of the house. And so that floor stays nice and toasty warm on cold days, which has been just tremendous for us. We love it. Mm-hmm. It's so much warmer than other places we've rented. And then, like I said before, we get a lot of passive solar. So just the sun coming through, although it's south-facing windows, warm up that floor, which is stained sort of a dark color to absorb heat.
It's actually pretty amazing because on a sunny day, the passive solar will heat the house up so much that we don't even hear the heat pump come on at certain points. So it's pretty amazing.
And often, if it has been a sunny day, it won't even come on until the middle of the night or even sometimes the next morning. It really holds the heat in there. And in the summer, it's designed to actually stay very cool. When they were building the house, we had some hot days. And the house actually, if you shade the windows, It's so well insulated and there's so much foam. It's like living inside of a cooler, sort of. It will stay quite cool in the concrete floor in the summer because it's not heated. Feels nice and cool to the touch. And it was actually very comfortable. And we have a HEPA filtration system. A lot of people ask us, with a house this tight, how do you keep the air fresh and how do you keep mildew from growing? All the problems that we face in the Northwest. And we have this system that will draw in fresh air from the outside through a HEPA filter. So we filter out all the pollen and dust, which is good. Alex has asthma. And so we're focused a lot on indoor air quality. And it's nice not to have a forced air system blowing dust everywhere. It's just nice and clean on the inside.
Would you like to speak about other environmentally friendly features of your home?
Oh, sure. So one of the major features that we're pretty proud of was our reclaimed wood floors that are in the upstairs floor. We actually installed them ourselves, which was a huge accomplishment for us because we had no idea how to install wood floors at first. And so the first plank that we did took about 3 hours. So we were really proud by the end that we had installed these floors and that they're reclaimed fir. In addition, there's also second use of tubs and sinks, so those are reclaimed as well. We also have water-saving toilets, which happens to be one of my favorite features. There are these really cool toilets that are pretty popular in Europe. And so they're low flush, but also they do this cool thing of when the clean water comes in to go into the tank for the next flush, rather than going directly into the tank, it first goes through a faucet on the top of the tank. So there's actually a sink there so you can wash your hands. So it's a great way to save water. It's a good conversation piece.
We also have a rain garden in our backyard, quite a large one. We designed it to deal with all the rainwater that falls on the roof. So first it goes through a system where we catch the water in these specially designed barrels that actually our builder is a winemaker and he donated them to the project. They're the old barrels that he used for aging wine. So these beautiful oak barrels, those fill up with water first and then any excess from that goes back to the rain garden and it's filtered into the soil before instead of running off into the storm sewer system. And at our housewarming party, actually, he brought some of the wine that had been aged in those barrels. So that was a lot of fun.
And another thing, too, was low-waste engineering. The engineer that helped with the plans, he was very thoughtful about not wasting a lot of wood or lumber. And so the SIPS panels, that helped with reducing that waste because a lot can be lost in the building process. And we actually didn't have any sort of dumpster on site while the house was being built. We were using, throughout the entire process, a residential bin.
The SIPS panels themselves, the structural insulated panels, were actually made just south of Seattle. And by constructing those off-site, you know, it's in a factory and it's much more controlled. You know, when a house is stick-built on-site, often there's a lot of wood that's cut off and wasted. We were just very happy not to have a huge pile of wood left over at the end of the project. Normally, when a house is built, they haul away dumpsters of material that never make it into the house.
And also we like to say, too, that there are a lot of other things in terms of environmental features that we would have liked to have done. For example, countertops, like the paper stone countertops. We were really interested in those, but when it came down to the budget, we really had to think about, okay, what is our goal? What's the most important thing to us? And for us, it was really the energy efficient aspects in terms of reducing our energy, making it zero energy, being insulated. So we really put our money into that, because we realize there are certain environmental features that can be quite expensive. So we kind of had to compromise in terms of those features.
Yeah, and actually our budget helped, I think, guide the whole process and forced us to be efficient in a lot of ways. You know, just like Alex said, there's all these products out there that we could have bought that can be quite expensive and they just weren't an option for us really. And so we were forced to just focus on the insulation, which often I think a lot of people approaching a project like this can get caught up in all these other features that they can buy and maybe lose sight of the overall goal. At least our overall goal was to be net zero energy.
How much did it cost to build your house?
The land was $180,000, so land is quite expensive in Seattle. And the actual building was $237,000, and that includes all the materials and the labor, the taxes, the permits, and the $30,000 solar panel system on the roof. And we do get certain incentives back, so some of that cost was defrayed up front. We get a federal tax rebate this year that's equal to about 30% of the solar panel installation. So that for us is $9,000 approximately. And then over the course of the next 9 or so years until the year 2020, we get a production incentive from the state of Washington, which is a certain dollar amount back for each kilowatt hour that we produce. So that remains to be seen, but based on the size of the system, we're expecting to get about $1,000 a year for the next 9 years. So those bring the cost of the total project down to about $399,000.
And really our benchmark was we were trying to do this project for the same price of a townhouse in the area. So when we first started building the house, there was actually a townhouse development that was also being built at the same time. And we were quite pleased to realize at the end the houses were fairly similar in price, and here we had a net zero energy house.
And we're trying to sort of counter the myth that this sort of building is much more expensive than building a regular house to code. We found that by really trying to keep things simple and eliminating some of the, you know, extra trim around the outside of the house, and we reduced the size of the front porch and things like that, and just keeping it dead simple, we were able to keep our cost per square foot very low. In fact, much lower than the average in Seattle, which is about $200 per square foot. We built our house for about $125 per square foot, including the solar panels and everything. And then once you factor in the tax rebate and the production incentives, that drops down to about $114 per square foot, which is quite remarkable. I mean, anyone building here will know that that's very much at the low end of the spectrum in Seattle.
How much payback are you likely to see in terms of energy savings over time?
Well, we expect to save about $150 a month just on our utility bills. That's the average for a Seattle household. And, you know, over the years, that will certainly add up. It's about $1,800 a year. That's at today's prices. So if you look at the trend of energy costs over time, over the last 30 years or so, it's definitely trending up. And our designer actually has calculated out that we will repay the entire cost of the house, of building the house, just in the energy savings over the life of the house, which is incredible.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Alexandra Salmon and Eric Thomas, residents of Seattle's Ballard neighborhood and the owners of a net zero energy home. Did you have any problems in terms of getting a loan?
That was our main challenge for sure, was securing the financing. And it really had nothing to do with the uniqueness of the project, but it was really more of the economic climate at the time. There weren't many banks that were issuing construction loans, and so we actually had to shop around quite a bit to see if anyone was offering construction loans. We'd walk into a bank and someone would sit down with us and just apologize and say, we can't do that right now. So eventually we were able to find a bank that was willing to do the construction loan. And of course, they were understandably very cautious at that time and still are. So that was something that required a lot of patience, a lot of paperwork. But we were able to do it. And once again, it really wasn't due to the project or the fact that it was a net zero energy home, more of the fact that it was a difficult time.
But actually, the time was sort of an opportunity for us as well. We never would have been able to find a lot in the city in a walkable neighborhood. You know, to us, that seemed very expensive, the $180,000 that we spent on the lot. But in good economic times here, a developer would have come right in and bought the lot to build multiple townhouses there or something, perhaps, or a big house. We wouldn't have even been competitors in that bidding war. So we did luck out in that respect. We just were too naive to know that when we started building that it was a very difficult time to start any project as far as financing goes.
Beyond getting the loan, what were the major challenges?
Well, a lot of the things we brought upon ourselves just to save money. One thing that we did that most people don't do when building a house was I volunteered to pull all the permits for the house. And so not really knowing how long that would take or how involved that process would be. Normally the builder will go down to the Department of Planning and Development and pull all the permits themselves. And I volunteered to do that, and that took quite a bit of time, and it was a big learning experience for me.
And also, of course, there was some decision fatigue, which I'm sure most people who have built a house can understand. And of course, we feel blessed to be able to have that decision fatigue in building a house, but it was hard. There were points where it was just like making another decision seemed like a very difficult task. And the builder, Ted Clifton Jr., was so great at keeping on a good timeline, and he was very, his schedule, he actually finished, him and his team finished a month ahead of schedule. So that meant just a lot of decisions to make every single day since it was such a short span.
How well has your house performed so far?
So far, we're extremely happy with it. It's the winter right now, so this is not the time of year when we're producing the most solar energy. So we're actually using energy right now. So it won't be until the spring that our meter starts turning backwards. But for the time being, the house has stayed very warm and comfortable to live in. Lots of sunlight, which is great. It's a cheerful house, you know, on a cloudy day, we still get some light in there, and we're really happy with how big and open it feels. And so far, we've used about 1,800 kilowatt hours, 17 or 1,800.
That's over the course of about three and a half months.
Yeah, since September 30th. So we're looking forward to the spring when the meter starts running backwards.
Have you had any unexpected challenges living in your net zero energy home?
There's been the issue with the meter, which I think Eric can speak more about.
Yeah, since no one that we know of has built a house like this yet in Seattle, Seattle City Light was, you know, unfamiliar with the whole idea of metering this sort of arrangement. And so when they installed our meter, it's designed, if it's working correctly, it's going forward and backward. In our case, the one they installed was just going forward. So even when we were producing, it was still adding on to that total. So we got sort of a whopping $125 bill in the mail. And we thought, wait a second, this is not the goal of this project. And so we had to sort that out with them. But to their credit, they've been extremely attentive. They've met with us and some other solar owners. And we're part of a small group that's trying to streamline the whole process and make it easier to get the credit you deserve when you install solar panels.
What kind of response are you getting to your home?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. It's been really wonderful for us to meet members of the community and that are interested in doing similar projects or are retrofitting their houses and figuring out how to make their existing house more energy efficient, which has been really exciting for us. It's been a way for us to meet people that we would never have met before. And we actually had a housewarming party about a month ago, and we opened it up to the public at that time. And we had over 150 RSVPs just from people in the community. And so that was really neat for us to see people walk into our house. And a lot of people had really great questions and were sharing their stories. So it was a real joy for us to be able to communicate with people and just hear the different green building ideas that are out there.
And we've started a blog to sort of document the whole process. We've put lots of photographs up there, and people have contacted us actually from all over the world. We just received an email from someone in Australia who wants to build a similar house. We get a lot of people contacting us who live in an existing house and want some tips on retrofitting it, which we think is a very important thing for people to do as well, especially in Seattle, where there's really not many vacant lots left. So here, the focus should be on just really insulating and retrofitting older homes to perform, if not to this level, to you can get them very close fairly easily. And so we just try to encourage people to do whatever projects that they can to their house. You know, little steps, if everyone is doing them, can go a long way.
What advice would you give to someone wanting to build a net zero energy home?
Well, like we mentioned before, if that's your goal, you have to keep your eyes on the prize the whole time, because there's lots of distractions while you build, and there's lots of other things competing for your limited budget. At least in our case, it was a limited budget. So another thing I would tell people, and I think we both agree on this, is just finding a designer, an architect, a builder who share your vision, because there's so many things, as we learned during the design phase of the project, there's so many things that are sort of left to interpretation. You have a set of plans and you have an idea of what you want, but the builder may have a completely different idea. And luckily, the builder that we found, TC Legend Homes out of Bellingham, shared our vision both for the zero energy aspect of the house and for the sort of simplicity of the design and the low budget nature of the project. And he was willing to work with us. He let us do some of the work ourselves. Like we said, we installed the wood floors, things like that. So most builders would not have allowed that. And we were lucky to find people who really shared our vision and our passion for this kind of building.
What can you tell us about net zero energy houses outside of Seattle?
That's a good question, and there really isn't any sort of formal database of zero energy homes. And we've done quite a bit of research and we've tried talking to people. We know that there's one in Colorado. Of course, there's one in Bainbridge, and then there's a development in Issaquah called Z Homes. But beyond that, I mean, we tried doing research and it's really hard to find other homes that are also net zero energy. And so we'd love for people to contact us and let us know about their net zero energy home. And we actually started an informal database on our blog trying to keep a list of the net zero energy homes that we're aware of. But we'd love to know about more.
And Seattle's Built Green program, they're actually talking about, they have 1 through 5 star ratings. They're actually talking about adding a sort of a Z star rating to it. So houses that achieve this net zero energy status would be given that rating, which we are supporting, and we would love to see that happen as well.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Just that if you are at all interested in this type of building, to just try to incorporate it into whatever you do. The code has improved a lot. The building code, you know, requires much more efficiency than it used to, but it's still nowhere near what you can do if you just ask for better insulation and a better design. There's lots of resources out there, and generally people who build this type of a house, we've found, have been very forthcoming with information and advice and tips. You know, we certainly love to talk to people who are interested in this type of building. Just go out, ask people to help you, and if they share your vision for it, then it's definitely possible to build this, and it doesn't have to cost more than your standard building.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have just been listening to Alexandra Salmon and Eric Thomas, residents of Seattle's Ballard neighborhood and the owners of a net zero energy home. For more information, check on the web at zerohouse.wordpress.com. Again, that's zerohouse.wordpress.com. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org. For the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click On Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.